I invite you to open a Bible with me to the New Testament book of Acts, if you will. Open a Bible with me to Acts chapter 2, where we will be reading together in just a few moments. We're going to spend nearly all of our time this evening in the book of Acts. We will be one other place toward the end of our time together, but if you can find Acts chapter 2 and be ready to travel through some highlights of that book, then you will be well prepared to follow along with us as we journey through God's Word this evening. Let me take one more time this evening to express to you my thanksgiving for your being here. You have been an encouragement to me. So many of you have been here at every single opportunity this week, and I want you to know how much I truly appreciate that. I don't take that for granted. I know there have been many things that you could be doing this week, but you have been here, and you have been an encouragement to me, and I know that you have been an encouragement to each other. If you're visiting with us or with us for the first time tonight, thank you for being here. I know there are other places you could be this evening and other things that you could be doing, but you chose to be here. And we want to make the most of our time together this evening by focusing on the most important communication that we could possibly focus on. That has been our goal all week long. And you have been so very kind to me in your encouragement, your feedback, your kind thoughts. Thank you very, very, very much. I appreciate the invitation to be with you and the opportunity to get to know you better this week. I've appreciated the prayers that you've offered throughout the week on behalf of me and my family. I wish that they could have been with me this week. You all caught us in the middle of a very, very, very busy time with our family, but I appreciate the encouragement that you have been to me, all of the hospitality. I have not needed to stop at a drive-through at any point on the way home. I am full this evening, have been full all week long, and I want you to know how much I appreciate you having me in your homes or out to eat, just the opportunity to get to know you a little better. I've heard of this church for a long time, and for whatever reason, our paths hadn't crossed as of yet, but I will have fond memories of our few days together here. I will be praying for you, praying for Guillermo and his family. It has been great to meet them, and I know that you're excited that they're here. I hope this is a wonderful fit for you in the Lord, and that you all are able to work together for the glory of God, and you have many, many years of working together for the good of each other. Thank you for everything this week. I truly, truly mean that. It's always a little difficult to know how to begin a series of lessons like this and to end a series of lessons like this, especially when you're just beginning to get to know the saints in any given location. You want to make the most of your time together and provide perhaps what is most helpful and challenging and encouraging. And what I would like to do with you tonight is very much get you to look in the mirror and to think about the future. We have spent a good amount of time this week in the book of James. James is such a very practical book, and near the very beginning of his powerful and practical letter, he encourages disciples of Jesus just very straightforwardly, not only to be hearers of the word, but to be doers. And he gives us this simple illustration that all of us can understand. Being a hearer but not a doer is like taking a look in the mirror and seeing what needs attention, but then walking away and completely disregarding what you just saw in the mirror. I've been looking at you long enough over the course of the last few minutes to realize there isn't anyone here who has done that today. Now, some of us have spent more time in front of mirrors than others, undoubtedly, and we'll just leave that alone this evening. But you know what it is, of course, to look in the mirror, maybe to put it off for a little while and come back to the mirror two or three or four times, but eventually to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of before you leave the house. And I would suggest to you that's such a powerful way to begin to draw a series of lessons like this to a close. You've been an encouragement to me, and I hope that our time in God's Word has been an encouragement to you. But now, in a very real sense, the question is, what are we going to do with what we have talked about? We've talked about temptation. It's one thing to learn about what God has said. So powerfully and practically breaking down what we need to understand about temptation. About how we look at trials and the tests of life. And how, in fact, they can help us to grow towards God if we maintain God-shaped perspective. We've talked about aspects of our individual lives. What sort of examples are we going to be in the world around us? What sort of light are we going to shine? What sort of salt in this decaying world are we going to be? How are we going to treat one another? Where do we go from here? It's one thing to spend 5 or 6 collective hours over the course of 4 days in the study of God's Word, but what now? And I would particularly challenge you as a group. What now? And I would like just to begin in the book of Acts chapter 2 and walk through as many examples as time will allow and hopefully get you to think. Where do you want this church to be this time next year? You already have a gospel meeting scheduled for the spring of 2018. And would you just stop and honestly evaluate? It is so easy in this realm of life, like so many other realms of life, just to do what we're in the habit of doing. Right? And just to maintain. I'm in the habit of assembling with saints. And listen to me, don't misunderstand. That is a wonderful, one of the best habits that you can possibly have. But if the Lord wills and you're alive and this church exists in the spring of 2018, will you have simply continued a habit? Or will there have been growth? Where would you like this church to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, an entire generation from now? Undoubtedly, the makeup of this group will look different. There will be people in this audience this evening who are not alive. There will be people, if the Lord wills, who have not even been thought of. They will be born over the course of the next 20 years. We understand that's just a part of life as life marches on. What do you want this church to be in the years to come? And as you think about what you want it to be, well, what can we learn, especially from historical books like the book of Acts, about how churches grow strong. Not simply maintain, but they grow strong over the years. And on the flip side, how do churches become weak as time marches on? What is so very valuable from this book of Acts is that these are the examples of real life people. They lived in various places. There was a church in Jerusalem. There was a church in Antioch. There were churches throughout the region of Galatia. There was a church in Ephesus and Philippi and Thessalonica and Corinth. And on and on and on and on we can go. We understand that when we talk about the churches in those places, we're not talking about any building. We're talking about people. Churches are made up of people. And people are made strong in the Lord through knowledge. You have your Bible open there to Acts chapter 2. Begin reading with me in the 37th verse of the chapter. The very first time that people are hearing the good news of the resurrected Christ of God. Peter has used Old Testament passages of Scripture to prove to them, this Jesus of Nazareth whom you crucified, God the Father, your Creator, has made Him both Lord and Christ. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, we're told by Luke that when they heard this, when these people finally see these dots connected, they are cut to the heart. They're not simply listening. They have been convicted by what they have heard. And that conviction of heart moves them to ask Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And we can read the next few verses as Peter gives them that most important of answers, that you've got to turn from sin. Repent and be baptized in the name of this crucified Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a promise of God that He's made to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many who are willing to answer this call of this incredible news. And that very day, Luke tells us, about 3,000 people respond to that message, and their sins are washed away in the blood of God's own Son. But I want you to notice especially verse 42. That these people, having been born again, sins washed away, raised to walk now in newness of life, they devoted themselves. There is a difference between being a part of a crowd. Crowds come and go. You go to any ball game, you go to any mall, you go to any concert, and you see that crowds can be gathered in any number of ways. And eventually, a crowd is turned into an audience, right? The band comes out, and suddenly that enormous crowd in the stands becomes an audience. But it's another thing entirely to transform from, I'm simply a member of an audience, to now, I want to participate. I want to share in that. I want to be a fellow in that. Participating, communing in that sort of thing. There was a crowd in Jerusalem in the days of Acts chapter 2, who becomes an audience as Peter is making this great proclamation. And now that audience, so many thousands of them, they've been cut to the heart, and they go from audience members who heard to participants. How do I know that? Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Why did they do that? Because people are made strong in the Lord through knowledge. What does God want of me? What does He want to see of me in my marriage? What does He want to see of me as a parent? What does He want to see me grow into as a brother or sister in Christ? What does He want all of us as disciples of Jesus to grow into? In order to know the answer to that question, we've got to grow in knowledge. And so could I encourage you to look in the mirror? not to think of another group of people, not to think of another church, but to think of this church, of which so many of you are members. Where will you be in your knowledge if this world stands and you continue to live at this time in 2018? Churches are made up of people. And people are made strong in the Lord through knowledge. People are made strong in the Lord through commitment. Same verse. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. They now had the greatest of things in common. They had established, been reconciled by God to God, and had established this vertical relationship with God in which now they enjoyed relationship, fellowship with anyone who was in fellowship, reconciled to God. They were devoted to that. They weren't simply strangers. They weren't simply members of the same audience. They were truly brothers and sisters in Christ, devoted to the breaking of bread, remembering the body given by their Savior to atone for their sins. Every first day of the week, they were devoted to the prayers. Are you devoted to those things? You look in the mirror and you ask, as my brothers and sisters in Christ share in this communion each first day of the week, is that a devotion I share? Do I share devotion to prayer? Pray not only for myself, but for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Have you had time at some point today to pray for a brother or sister in Christ by name? Of course you have. Are you devoted to that relationship, learning what your brothers and sisters in Christ need you to pray for? Are you devoted to the life and health and maturing of this body of believers? Where do you want to see this church be 5 years from now? Churches are made up of people. And people are made strong in the Lord through commitment. People are made strong in the Lord through time with each other. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, same chapter, just a few verses later. Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. They were praising God together. They were having favor with all the people together. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. It is such a simple idea. Muscles grow in strength because they go to the gym together. There's not a one of us that can decide, okay, today is an upper body day, and so I'm just going to send my arms and my shoulders to the gym, and the rest of me can stay here in bed for another hour. No, muscles grow strong because they work together. They're stretched together. They are challenged and bear up weight together. Where do you want this church to be 6 months from now? And what can you do in order to help this local body of believers be what you want this church to be? Churches are made up of people. And people are made strong in the Lord through time with each other. You turn a page or two over to Acts chapter 4. People are made strong in the Lord through a spirit of generosity. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. We're told now by Luke that the full number, now well into the thousands of those who believe, they were of one heart and soul. How had they gotten that way? They didn't all come from the same place. They had come from all over the known world. There were different languages we know that were spoken, different backgrounds, different socioeconomic levels, different ways of looking at the world. How in the world had they gotten to the point that thousands of people are of one heart and soul? I know of no better way to answer that question than they were growing in knowledge of the apostles' doctrine. And they were committed to God and His will and to each other. They were spending time with each other. And there was this growing, very real, not theoretical, but real spirit of generosity. Full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. Now let's be honest. I don't do that for another member of a crowd. You don't do that simply for a fellow member of an audience. But you do that for a brother or a sister. You do that for family, don't you? What sort of church do you want this church to be? Realize that this church is made up of people. And people are made strong in the Lord through a spirit of generosity. Go with me to Acts chapter 9. People are made strong in the Lord through the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It's a phrase that comes from Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. So the church, now as it grows throughout all the region of Judea and Galilee and Samaria, had peace. Again, we're not talking about a bunch of buildings, we're talking about people. The church had peace. The church in all of these various places was being built up. How in the world does that make any sense? Well, these people are being built up in their knowledge and their commitment through their time with each other and through this spirit of generosity. And it is these people who are walking, according to Luke, in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I believe that I have a Lord. That's what these people were living with day by day by day. That Lord is not the King of Judea. He is not some regional governor. He is not Caesar in Rome. He is in heaven. He reigns. He is good. He does good. His way is the best way. He is calling me to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And that if I do this, I will have lived life well. I believe I am living, as we tried to establish on Sunday morning, in view of a face-to-face encounter with Him. And He could come at any moment. I want to be ready. And so I'm walking in the fear of the Lord. I'm walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You know, the only way that you can walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it's to keep in step with the Spirit. To borrow Paul's language from Galatians chapter 5. To walk, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I love the fact that the Holy Spirit of God leads Paul to describe this as a walk. This is not some box that I take off of the shelf on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings and a couple of special event half weeks throughout the year and then I put it back on the shelf. No, this is who I am. This is my walk. What sort of reverence do you want this body of believers to be characterized by? Churches are made up of people. And people are made strong in the Lord through the fear of the Lord. Whatever the Lord says, that's what I'm going to do. And regardless of what happens in this life, I have the comfort of the Holy Spirit that is real now and will carry me all the way to my eternal home. Stay with me in Acts chapter 9. Look at verse 36. People are made strong in the Lord through good works and acts of charity. Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. Let's put a face, a specific face on all of this. In verse 36, there was in the city of Joppa a disciple, a follower of the resurrected Christ. Her name was Tabitha. Translated, that means Dorcas. This woman, how are you going to describe this woman in just a sentence? She was a woman full of good works and acts of charity. I don't always live in such a way that my life could be summarized in that one sentence. I don't always have weeks where, if my week was encapsulated in one powerful sentence, that's not the way that it would be. And undoubtedly, Dorcas had weeks just like that as well. Do you want to talk about who this woman was over the course of her lifetime? You want to talk about how she was remembered? Full of good works and acts of charity. It's a sobering thing to realize that one day, if this world stands, people will look back on my life and on your life, and they'll summarize your life in one or two sentences. What story do you want people to be able to tell of you? Realize that you're right in the middle of writing that story, even as you sit there this evening. We know how Dorcas was described. She became ill in verse 37. Eventually she died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda, the city of Lydda, was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter, an apostle of Jesus, was in Lydda, they sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." And so he rose and he went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. Do you want to be a part of a church of those sorts of men and women? Well, churches are made up of people. And people are made strong in the Lord through good works and acts of charity. You look at the next chapter, Acts chapter 10. People are made strong in the Lord through active concern for those who need to hear the gospel. They care about those outside of the walls of wherever it is that they meet. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 24, we read about on this following day that Luke is describing, Peter and some of his companions, they enter the city of Caesarea, and this man Cornelius is there, anxiously waiting for this one who's going to tell him words by which he and whoever is willing to listen and respond can be saved. He has called together his relatives and his close friends. And you imagine the ripple effects of what happens because of that occasion. Those people who are gathered in that room. Cornelius becomes a Christian. Those members of his household who hear and believe and respond, they become Christians. And on and on and on it goes. Would you like to see any faces in the spring of 2018 who are not represented here tonight? Brand new infants in Christ whose lives have been forever changed over the course of the next 12 months, and here, ready and willing to listen this time next year when you do this again. Churches are made up of people. And people are made strong in the Lord through active concern for those who need to hear the gospel. Acts chapter 11, next chapter. People are made strong in the Lord through a willingness to listen to each other. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 1, we're told that the apostles and the brothers who are throughout Judea, they hear that Gentiles, Cornelius and his close relatives and friends, they have received the word of God and they want an explanation of this. And so Peter goes up to Jerusalem and the circumcision party begins criticizing him. But what makes Acts chapter 11 so very valuable and such a valuable example for us is that strength comes out of this confrontation. Why? Because real life men and women are willing to listen to each other. They listen to what Peter says, and as they fall silent, eventually they glorify God in verse 18 of Acts 11, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." How did they reach that conclusion? They were willing to listen to each other. If your feet suddenly stop listening to your head overnight, it's going to be awfully hard for you to be as strong this time tomorrow as you are this evening. Bodies of Jesus Christ are made up of people. And people are made strong in the Lord through a willingness to listen to each other. They're made strong in the Lord through steadfast purpose. You look at Acts chapter 11, this man Barnabas. When he, Barnabas, Acts chapter 11 and verse 23, came to the church in Antioch and he saw the grace of God, he was glad and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Acts chapter 12, people are made strong in the Lord through earnest prayer. In Acts 12 and verse 5, Peter now in prison, earnest prayer is being offered on his behalf, made to God by the church in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 12 and verse 12. Eventually, Peter goes to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and they were praying. People are made strong in the Lord through earnest prayer. Acts chapter 13, people are made strong in the Lord through a love for the Lord and the world that is bigger than themselves. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers. They're mentioned by name. And in verse 2, while they're worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Don't you imagine that a hole, at least for a little while, is left in the church in Antioch by the departure of someone like Paul? And the son of encouragement, Barnabas. But wasn't it the Lord's commission to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature? People are made strong in the Lord through a love for the Lord and this world that is bigger than themselves. We could go on and on and on. Notice with me just one more example from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. People are made strong in the Lord through another generation that has been taught to take God seriously. The wonderful thing that you see in the book of Acts is that as these first generation Christians grow older, the next generation comes to faith and continues the charge of the gospel. In living color, that's what we're reading about in Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and there is a disciple there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. This young Timothy, he was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul eventually writes that young man two letters, and in the first of those, we read about how he had come to faith. It had started with the faith that was in his mother and in his grandmother. You realize that this congregation, just as surely as every congregation of the Lord's people, has generations that grow older, and pass away. And ever since the days of the judges in the Old Testament, we have seen how easy it is for another generation to arise that does not know the Lord. It's been often noted how frequently you see one generation that walks in the gospel, one generation after them who takes the gospel for granted, and the following generation loses the gospel. How many generations down the road do you want there to be a faithful church of Jesus Christ in this city of Hillsboro? Churches are made up of people, and people are made strong in the Lord through one generation diligently teaching and modeling for the next generation what it means to take God seriously. I told you we would end in one other location. Go with me to the very last book of the Bible, to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Where we notice just very, very briefly from Revelation 2 and 3 how churches grow weak through the years. Churches are made up of people, and people become weak by abandoning the love they had at first. That's Ephesus in Ephesians 2 and verse 4. Incredible section of Scripture, because herein it is Jesus, the glorified Christ, communicating with real life people just like you and me. And here are people in Ephesus whom he looks at and he says, "I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first." Churches are made up of people, and people become weak when they begin to love anything and anyone more than they love the Lord. People become weak when they lose the fear of the Lord and begin to compromise the message of the Holy Spirit. That's Pergamum in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14, where this same Jesus says to these men and women, "I have a few things against you." You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. Why would anyone ever get to that point? It's because they do not fear the Lord the way that they should. And because they do not fear the Lord the way that they should, they believe that they can compromise the message of the Holy Spirit. People grow weak through a love for the world that breeds a spirit of self centeredness. That's Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20, where Jesus says, I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. 5 years from now, will the people who make up this church be more like the Lord or more like the world? It happened right here in Thyatira. People become weak by spiritual apathy that rests in empty reputation. That's Sardis in Revelation 3 and verse 1. I know your works, Jesus says. You have the reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Real life people who had grown weak because spiritually they were asleep, simply resting in what they had been in the past. Finally, people become weak by a failure to see themselves as God sees them. That's Laodicea in Revelation 3 and verse 15. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. What's problem number one? That's what God sees. All the while you ask them and they say, we're rich. We've prospered. We have need of nothing. And what good does it do to see ourselves in some way that does not harmonize with the way that God sees us? People become weak by not realizing, in this instance, they were wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. These examples have been preserved for our learning. And I hope that this look in the mirror, even as I have looked in the mirror, even as I have encouraged the church at Laurel Canyon in Columbus to look in the mirror, I encourage you to look in the mirror this evening and realize that you are where you are because of what has happened over the years. We realize that the past is in the past and nothing can be done to change it. But we have the present, and by God's grace we have hope for the future. And when push comes to shove, no one will determine what I and I alone am going to do. I'm the one who makes the decisions for me. And you are the one who will make decisions for you. And so is there some decision that you need to make even this evening? To become stronger in the Lord. How remarkable that we have modeled in the pages of the New Testament that we find the greatest strength, the Lord's strength, when we acknowledge how broken and needy we are. And perhaps you need to do that this evening by asking for the prayers and the help and the encouragement of your brothers and sisters in Christ here. We would love to end our time together this week by doing just that for you. But it may be that you're not a member of this church. You're not a member of the Lord's church. For a good long time, you've just been a part of the crowd. And this evening, you've been a part of a very kind and patient audience. But you know that you need to be more than that. You need to be a participant. And you're willing to ask the exact same question that those people in Acts chapter 2 asked. What shall I do? Would you listen to the answer given by the Spirit of God? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins can be washed away and you can leave here on the way to spiritual strength. Whomever you are, whatever your need, if we can be of any help, would you let us know how? By coming to the front while we stand and sing.